It's time for another edition of our At Your Service podcast, which is a part of the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley, and it is true, we are going to have, hopefully within the next few weeks, we'll be resuming our series with the Stone County Community Health Coalition. The weather in January kind of put that schedule in a little bit of a sliding pattern, but with winter weather, saying sliding is probably not the right term to use for that. So we'll just say it kind of adjusted the schedule a little bit, and we're hoping maybe a couple of times this month to get together with the coalition and our final two visits with the Galena High School public health class, working with Monica Miller and all the folks at Galena, hopefully to get that set up. And it's even a little bit more strange talking about winter weather. And I almost opened the show last week the same way we're doing it this week as we record here on February 9th. We are looking for another day of temperatures in the 70s. So I guess when it's really warm, it's probably a perfect time to do an outdoor type podcast, and that's what we're doing. We're having our weekly visit with the Missouri Department of Conservation. We call it the Conservation Report. And this week's report is going to be delivered by the other Christian County agent. We had Michaela Leppard here last week, and this week it's Alex Walker that's here in the Grand Country Studio. Alex, how are you doing today?
Oh, doing just fine, Scott.
It's good to see you again. And so kind of before we get into this, Alex is the newbie. Actually, Alex replaced Michaela as the newbie, and I'm sure you probably had a ceremony where she gave you the newbie cap and just said it's all yours now or something. Did she do that?
No, we didn't have a ceremony or anything.
So remind me, how long ago did you join her in Christian County?
So I joined her in Christian County in September.
Right, and you had been with the department before. You came from a different area, right?
Yep, I was the agent up in Clay County for 4 years prior.
So I guess before we kind of get into details in this report, I know you're getting settled in because you're from the area, so you know a lot about that, but is it kind of sunk in with you now that you're back home and kind of in familiar territory?
Oh, yeah. Yep, yeah. I'm all settled in now, so everything's going pretty smooth.
Well, I guess this is, every time we have someone here, it's the first agent we visited with, and I know Michaela and I talked a little bit about this last week, but we did finally get the deer season wrapped up, with the archery season wrapping up on January 15th, and by all accounts, it was a pretty fruitful deer season around not only this area, but around the state.
Yeah. Yeah, our total harvest, I didn't check and see what the total harvest was after the archery season closed, but it was significantly higher than what it has been in honestly the last 10 years. So this deer season was very good as far as harvest numbers go.
Just from your observations, did it seem like you were seeing more people out participating in hunting this year?
I wouldn't say that, from my observation, that I was seeing any more hunters than I have in years past. I'd say we're still fairly consistent with the number of hunters. However, every year we do get a little bit of decline as far as permit sales every year. So as far as the numbers go, we are losing a few hunters every year.
And that's kind of one of the reasons I know a lot of that the Conservation Department has really put an emphasis on youth programs to try to kind of keep, you know, kind of keep, I guess, the line going through families, because hunting's is a family tradition, I know. Even though I haven't hunted in years, when I was growing up, we had several members of our family, and we did those annual hunts and did those type of things, and I guess that's one of the things that the youth programs has really been trying to emphasize.
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the goals for the department, is to try and recruit some more younger hunters, and
right,
especially now that every year we're losing some of our older hunters, whether, you know, they're passing away or they just physically can't get out into the woods. We're trying to recruit more younger hunters, and unfortunately in today's society there's a lot less people that are passing on that hunting tradition onto their kids. So that kind of takes the conservation's role, department's role, to go in and kind of introduce some of these younger generations to hunting and fishing. But we do have a few other ways to get some of our older population, maybe that aren't familiar with hunting or fishing, but they'd like to get interested in it. So obviously, if you want to participate in any firearms, deer, or turkey season, you've got to go through Hunter Ed, right? So one way, for, let's say you're 35 years old, maybe you didn't grow up hunting or fishing, you know, but you got a couple friends that really like to do it and you're interested and you'd like to go out and hunt with them, but you haven't taken your Hunter Ed. So we do have kind of a workaround around that. You can buy what it's called the Apprentice Hunter Authorization, and essentially what that is a $10 two-year permit that allows an adult hunter to go out and purchase firearms, deer, and turkey tags without hunter ed and hunt for two seasons. Now, the caveat to that is they have to go out and hunt with a properly licensed and hunter ed certified hunter that's over the age of 18. So essentially they have to hunt just like a youth hunter would, you know, like they got to sit with dad and grandpa. So you'd still be an adult, but it gives you that opportunity to go out, learn how to hunt from somebody that knows what they're doing before you've actually taken your hunter ed.
So, you know, apprenticeship, internship, I mean, you can name probationary period, you can name a lot of things that that does, but it kind of, I guess to use a kind of a water analogy, you can kind of dip your toe in the water a little bit there,
yep,
can't
exactly.
You?
It kind of gives you an idea of maybe, well, before I commit to sitting down and taking an 8-hour class, is this really something I want to do?
Mm-hmm. You know, when we've talked about hunter ed often, and, you know, there is a certain time frame that maybe certain hunters would not have to take hunter ed if they were born before a certain date. And but we've often said that even if you maybe don't technically have to take hunter ed, if you haven't been out there in a while, it might not be a bad idea to do it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Hunter ed is important for anyone, like you said, even if you were born prior to the initiation of our hunter ed program, so then you're kind of grandfathered into not having to take it, but it's still a great program for anyone to take. You know, since the institution of our hunter ed program, the number of hunting incidents has reduced dramatically, and obviously that was due directly to our hunter education. So it's important for everybody to go through whether you need to take it or not.
And so we will just give you, and we know we're still quite a few months away from deer season restarting, although the way time goes, it'll be here before you know it. When it does come time to do that, I would immediately start looking for hunter ed classes because they do fill up quickly. And if you want one, we don't want you to be without one and then end up, you know, hey, it's going to be an issue. So just start looking for those when they come into your area. A lot of it can be done online now, so there's a lot of options there. So take advantage of that and keep everyone safe.
Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of hunter ed, with spring turkey season coming up here in the next couple months, right now we're starting to have a lot more of our hunter ed classes at the nature center and shooting ranges. So if you've got kids that are looking to take hunter ed before the spring turkey season, you need to jump online and start looking for those classes right now. And you can find any of our local classes for hunter ed on our website, mdc.mo.gov. just select the events tab and select hunter ed, and you can select it by area or county, and it'll show you all their hunter ed classes and what locations they're at, so you can get signed up, because those classes fill up really fast, so you don't want to wait till the last minute.
Absolutely. And speaking of spring turkey season, I guess we ought to remind folks that it is just around the corner, right?
Yep. Coming up in April, spring turkey season is going to open up. But our next season, I guess, quote-unquote season that's going to open up here is going to be the spring trout season. So the catch and keep season is going to open up at the Trout Park here come March 1st. So everybody, make sure you're renewing your fishing license and your trout permits, because they're going to expire the last day in February. So if you're going to head out on trout opener, you need to make sure you get your new fishing license.
And I tell you what, Missouri Department of Conservation was really on top of it this year. They decided that because everyone was so good, they have given everyone an extra day on last year's permit. So you now have until February 29th. To do that permit, but they only do it once every 4 years. So just thought I would throw that out there. And you thought, leap year? No, it's the conservation department, trust me on that. So yeah, I don't know if I can get away with that, but you do have that extra day. But March 1st, doesn't matter what day the first is on, you need to have those new permits. And I've talked to the other agents about that, but I you know, and since we are on Super Bowl weekend as we're recording this report, I always say I think there's always like two what I would call Super Bowl days for the Missouri Department of Conservation. I think one's obviously the opening of firearms deer season in November, and the other is the first day of trout season at the trout parks in the region, including our very own Roaring River State Park, which is one of the top, has been the top the last 4 years of state parks visited in Missouri. And I'm sure a few gonna be a few people over there on March 1st getting ready to cast a line.
Yeah, probably just a couple.
Yes.
It may be shoulder to shoulder for a while.
Absolutely. That, you know, we talk about traditions, but that is a tradition that is really probably as big as any when it comes to outdoors and conservation in the state, is the opening day of that trout season.
Oh yeah, for sure. Our trout fishermen are great for the state of Missouri, and they're huge supporters of the conservation department. They provide a lot of funding. because they love to chase those trout.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we're hoping, we haven't scheduled it yet, but we usually have an annual visit on our Ozarks Now program with the director of the Cassville Chamber of Commerce over there near Roaring River, and they have a lot of big events. Cassville schools are out that day. If the trout season opener is on a weekday, there is no school in Cassville because everyone's out there. Teachers and students are out there casting a line. But those are the type of things we talked about. And Alex, we had, several years ago, I had a conversation with some tourism officials, and they say that Missouri really banks on a big opening day of trout season. It's one of the biggest events throughout the entire state.
Yeah, yes, it is. Like you said, opening day of deer season, opening day of trout season.
Yeah, so have those permits, have everything ready, and also make sure all your fishing gear is up and ready to go, and the sooner you get those permits, the better, because you don't, whether it's the 28th or the 29th, you know, and I guess you could do all this online, but if you got several thousand people online trying to get a permit at the same time, it could slow things down a little bit. So get it as soon as possible, because you can still get them right now, right?
Yeah, yeah, you can go ahead and buy your 2024 trout permits and fishing permits. So even if you bought them today, they're going to be valid, and they're going to be valid through the last day in February of next year. So you can go ahead and buy your permits right now and not have to worry about it as you're driving down the road headed to the trout park on March 1st.
Yes, and the good thing about it this year is, I know a lot of folks are looking forward to this, but March the 1st is a Friday. So I think a lot of three-day weekends will be ahead for some folks as they get there. And the other thing we're hoping for is, and we told Michaela this last week, that I've been here over 30 years, and we've not done the conservation report every year. We've done a lot of those years. But I've been around enough that we have had, if you could imagine a type of weather except for earthquake and hurricanes, we have had it on the opening day of trout season, whether it be severe thunderstorms, whether it be an ice storm, whether it be like the weather is today, nice and 70 or nice and about 5 above zero. Seems like we've had all of those conditions, but yet they still come out and ready to celebrate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those diehard trout fishermen, they don't miss opening day for anything.
That's right, and it's going to be fun over there in Cassville and at the other trout parks around the state on March the 1st. Alex, what else is on your mind today?
Well, you know, other than spring turkey season coming up and trout season, there's not a whole lot going on. One thing that maybe a lot of people don't know, because it's only been going on for the last couple of years, is the thermal and night vision season for coyotes.
Oh, okay.
Opened February 1st, and that runs through the last day in March. So March 31st will be the end of that season. It's a fairly new season. It's only been going on for the last couple of years. It is specific for coyotes. So essentially, what it allows the use of night vision, thermal optics, or the use of artificial light in the harvest of coyotes after dark. One caveat to that is we allow you to use these methods, but it's strictly only for coyotes, and it's only hunting legally. So it doesn't allow you to use it from a road, from a motor vehicle. You have to be out in the field. You can spotlight coyotes, you can use night vision, you can use thermal, but it's only for coyotes. So even though bobcats are still in season and you can still shoot a bobcat, if you are in possession of night vision or thermal optics or using a spotlight, you still couldn't shoot a bobcat if it came in, because it's not legal.
Yeah, and so that's going to be very important to keep track of, because you don't want to have an accident in that area and really get yourself in trouble. So be careful about that. And I assume if they're doing this coyote hunt, there's still permit obligations there?
Yeah, so they still have to have their small game hunting permit. And, of course, if you're an out-of-stater, you've got to have your fur bear hunting and trapping permit. But that's the only permit that you'd have to have to hunt coyotes.
All right, and again, that season goes on until the end of March, so people can take advantage of that. And we mentioned spring turkey season's just around the corner. Of course, the opening of trout season comes up on March the 1st. So even though it's a little bit of a break and there's been some nice weather, it is an opportunity to get out. Have you seen a lot of people up around Busick in your neck of the woods up there?
Yeah, with this nice weather, of course, we've had a lot more hikers showing up. I actually ran into a handful of people coming out to camp out there at Busick. I think a lot of them weren't necessarily prepared, because they showed up and it was 70 degrees and then it dropped down to 36 at night, so they got pretty cold, but they still had a good time.
Yeah, and that is important to remember, that the 70 this time of year is the daytime high, and we emphasize daytime high. It could still get chilly at night. For people like me, that makes it tough because I come to work early in the morning, and I do wear a heavier coat because it's cold, and I step outside about 3 in the afternoon. I'm in my coat. It's like, what do I need this for? Because it's about 70 degrees, so it's the toughest part of the year, but it's nice to have a few warm days to get out and about. Hey, Alex, if people want to keep up to date with what's going on in the Missouri Department of Conservation, how can they do it?
Well, all they have to do is log on to our website, mdc.mo.gov, and all the seasons, public contacts, everything's listed right there.
Yep, and again, that gets you the contact for your agent. That also gives the contact for Operation Game Thief and a lot of information. And, you know, even a chance, and I've said this before, but my wife did this a few years ago. We subscribe to the Conservation Department magazines. If you're in the state of Missouri, you can do that free of charge. So take advantage of that. There are a lot of great pictures in there, which is why my wife got it, because she's trying to wants to get some of those pictures and find out where some of those areas are. But a lot of great information. Alex, always great seeing you, my friend. Come back. I know you'll come back and see us sometime, and hope everything goes well, and we'll look forward to seeing you as we get closer to spring.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Alex Walker is one of the Christian County agents, and he is delivering this week's Conservation Report. And that puts a close on this week's edition of the At Your Service podcast, our Conservation Report podcast. Of course, we play part of that on our Ozarks Now program, but you just heard the entire show right here. We record it weekly as part of the At Your Service podcast, which in turn is part of the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley. We'll catch you next time right here.